So I'm praying we'll make it through another Sunday and another Sunday and another Sunday. And then before you know it, it'll be spring. And then we'll have some other pandemic that will happen. So I'm a 100% pessimist. The glass is always half empty. And if anything bad can happen, it will. But God is still in control. And God is good. So I'm just very thankful that more people are back tonight. And I'm praying that we'll get through this round of illness and just crud, and hopefully we'll get through it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad you're here tonight. All right, stand with me in 2 Samuel 2. 2 Samuel 2. The word exploit is not found in the text, that word itself. But if you were to look up that word, it means a deed or a great act. And we talk about maybe exploits for God. I want us to read again the story tonight of the men of Jabesh-Gilead, David's message to them. And then I want to use this as a jumping off place to talk about tonight or preach about exploits maybe that we see in the story but can also be paralleled with the Christian life. And so I believe God would have us to do exploits, which means a deed or an act or a noble achievement. And I think there's things in this message here tonight that we will see. Now, David is the king now, and he's going to, of course, we saw reward the men of Jabesh-Gilead. And we're going to see David as he's going to be in the city of Hebron for 7 years before Joab takes out the Jebusites in the city of Jerusalem, and they will move the capital to Jerusalem, where it has been ever since, the capital of Israel, I should say, Jerusalem. It's called the city of God. It's called Zion. It's God's city. If you ever have an opportunity to go to Jerusalem, I don't know how to explain it, but I explained it like this to my wife when we were in Jerusalem. And again, I'm not the most touchy-feely kind of guy. But I do believe when I was there, I said to her, my spirit bears witness with the spirit of this city. And she agreed with me. This is the city of God. I said, Robin, we're in the city of God. This is the center of all world action when it comes to God. God decided to do this. He placed His hand on this country, on this piece of land. You say, can God do that? Yes, He did. He did. He put His hand on that place. But I want to, anyhow, go back to this story tonight. Look in chapter 2 Samuel 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 4 down to verse number 7, and then we'll have a word of prayer and you can be seated. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah hath anointed me king over them. Again, I just want to think about this, these men and what they did, and the characteristics behind what they did. And the Bible tells us some things that I just kind of popped out at me, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you, and I hope it'll be a challenge to our young people tonight. I like preaching to this first two rows, first three rows, first three, four rows. Sometimes this is who I focus on. If you just have to listen, but I'm preaching to them. Because they are our future. And they need to do great exploits for God. I see you over there shaking your head. You could come over and sit too if you want, but I got you. I'm preaching to you too, all right? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for our church tonight. Lord, we are a blessed people to have a place that we can gather around the Word of God. I'm thankful that I preach to a people that believe the Bible, that want to hear from God, And Lord, I want to hear from God. I want you to speak to us individually. I want you to speak to us as a congregation. Lord, I want our church to do exploits for God, not just small exploits, but great exploits. And I think, wow, what a story that we have before us. These men of Jabesh Gilead, really, they showed their loyalty, their respect. They showed themselves to be grateful for what Saul had done for them, even though it had been many years ago when Saul first became king. But they hazarded their lives just to get the body of Saul and bring it back to a place where he could have a proper burial, if you would. I pray, Lord, that we would do exploits for God. I pray as individuals we would want to serve you and we would want to be loyal and have great respect. Lord, I pray these characteristics that seem to be moving away from our culture and our society, Lord. I can't preach to the culture and I'm not preaching to society, but I'm preaching to Berean Baptist Church and especially the young people that are here tonight. May they show themselves mighty before God. Lord, help us tonight in the stories of the kings and the prophets as we continue with the life of David, who is now, after all of these years, now at the age of 30, probably somewhere around 15 years, maybe anywhere between 12 to 15 years, David has been on the run. He has become a man. He's become a leader among men. There's a lot of things that have happened, and now we see that the tribe of Judah allows David or anoints him to be the king or christens him. There's a coronation of him being the king here in Hebron for 7 years. God, help us tonight to see what David's thought pattern was to the men of Jabesh Gilead and their heart and what they did. And then, Lord, help us to make that application tonight for where we're at in this place tonight. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to say this again. I know the word exploit is not specifically in the text tonight, but the idea of a great act or a noble achievement is found in the story of the men of Jabesh Gilead. Of course, Saul has died. The men of the Philistines have come and found that Saul has died. But when the men of Jabesh Gilead heard that Saul was dead, they wanted to go and to have his body. They wanted to go and get his body. Look back at chapter number 31 of 1 Samuel, chapter number 31, and let's read the story here in verse number 8, because this I would call this a great achievement, a noble achievement, a special deed that might be what we would call heroic in nature. And by the way, David has already done great exploits for God. The killing of Goliath would be considered a great, noble, heroic achievement. But I do believe this one is also. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 8 of 1 Samuel 31. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow, after the battle between the Philistines and the Israelites, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that there they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head, and they stripped off his armor, and they sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants," here it is, because now we see in our story tonight that David is going to reward these men of Jabesh Gilead. I want you to see what they did. "They heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul." Look at this in verse 12. "All the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh." And then notice it said, "They fasted 7 days." Now, when I think about that, and I think about the story, I think that we need to consider tonight that what God might ask us to do. Have you ever considered that God desires for us to achieve certain things He gives us abilities to do, to say. He gives, hey listen, all of us have the ability to be loyal. All of us have the ability to have great respect. All of us have the ability to be thankful. And these were things that the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and I mentioned it last week, but if we go back when the men of Jabesh-Gilead was risen up against the enemy and they wanted to poke their eyes out, and Saul came to the rescue with an army from Israel and saved the men of Jabesh-Gilead. So let me just consider some words tonight that I might look at that I believe that we see from the men of Jabesh-Gilead. Number one, they had respect. They had respect for Saul for what he had done. They were grateful. I'd be grateful too if somebody saved me from having my eyeball poked out. They had boldness. This was bold in that they would go into the enemy territory and they would all night make their way to the place where they could get the body of Saul. They were earnest. They were faithful. Now, do you believe God would have us to be grateful? Do you think God wants us to have respect for Him and the things of God? Do you think maybe God might want us to be bold and earnest and be faithful? Do you believe that one day, do you really believe that one day we're going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and give an account of ourselves in our part in the kingdom of God? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? It is interesting. Now I want you to think about this, because the very first thing that David does after being established as the king in Hebron is to be informed about what I call the exploits of the men of Jabesh-Gilead. They said, hey, let us tell you what they have done. So the first thing that comes to David's attention, or the first agenda, if you want to put it that way, on his plate as the king, is to give them a commendation, a royal commendation. And the treatment of Saul's body was a great shame and a great dishonor as a person, and also to the office as a king of Israel. This would be a great shame, what was taking place, to cut his head off, strip his armor, send his head, do the thing. That's disrespectful. That's a shame to the nation of Israel. And these men, they said, listen, they fastened his body to the wall. They've cut his head off. They've placed his body on a wall along with his son so people could come by and see. They take the armor to the house of Ashtaroth, the wicked idols of Israel. And so they said, hey, listen, we're going to do something about this. There's not a whole lot we can do. We can't save him. But what we can do is we can honor him and respect him. And we can show respect to the king and to our country. And they did not want his body to be dishonored. His head had already been cut off. And I'm just saying, the first thing I think of is this: respect. Something that I'm afraid that we're losing in our country, in our community. And I want our young people to know that you need to have respect. You need to have respect for your parents. You need to have respect for your pastor. You need to have respect for your teachers. You need to have respect for leadership. You need to have respect. One of the things that the Bible talks about, that men, love your wives. Women, reverence your husband. You know what the idea of reverence there is? It's respect. Respect your husband. There's a vicious circle that goes on between couples today. The wife will say something like, well, he doesn't love me like I'm supposed to, so how can I respect him? And the husband says, she doesn't respect me, so how can I love him? How can I respect him because he doesn't love me? And it's a vicious circle where the man and the wife need to man up and woman up, and she needs to have respect for her husband, and he needs to love his wife. And when a man of God, when a man in his family will love his wife, and by the way, have you ever noticed in the Bible it doesn't say, wives, love your husbands? It doesn't say that. It says, reverence your husband. Now, if that makes you bow up, then you're not right with God in the first place. But men need to love their wives. And by the way, I have never met a man who didn't love himself. Absolutely, we do. We're awesome. And if you don't believe we're awesome, just ask us. we'll be sure to tell you how awesome we are. Amen? And therein lies the problem. So she says, how can I respect that? He loves himself. He doesn't love me. And so God says, love your wives like you love yourself. Knock it off. And love her like you love yourself. If you love your wife like you love yourself, oh my, there's a lot of love there. And so she says, well, I just can't respect him. Well, you need to respect him, especially if he goes to work every day. I said, you need to respect your husband. You need to reverence your husband. Show, a man doesn't need love, he needs respect. Oh, man, it's getting quiet in here. I might just pull out that message next week and start preaching it. And I'm just saying, we've lost this idea of respect. We've lost the idea of respect means to bring attention to a matter. It is an estimation of honor and holds a distinguished worth of quality towards others. It expresses a less than reverence regard today of elders and superiors. I'm telling you, when I was a child and I didn't respect my elders, I was in trouble. These men had respect to the position of Saul, even though, listen, let me just tell you, he had not done the things that he should have done, but he did hold the office of a king, and these men showed respect for that. David showed great respect for Saul in that he didn't kill him when he had the chance, because he said, he is the Lord's anointed, he is the king of Israel, it is not my responsibility. And even though it may have been hard to respect Saul as the man, but at least David respected him as who he was in the position of a king. Young people need to show respect to their elders, to their parents, to their Sunday school teachers, to the policemen and those in place of position. And here's how you do that. Listen, kids, let me tell you something. You don't do it by going, when an elder says something to you, you don't do this. Yeah. No. Yeah. How about yes, sir? No, sir? Yes, ma'am? No, ma'am? Am I getting anywhere here tonight? You understand what I'm saying? You need to show respect to those that are older. You need to show respect to your parents and your grandparents. You need to respect the house of God. That'd be a good place to start. And parents need to watch their children after church that they're not running around acting like a bunch of hooligans. This is still the house of God. This is a place that is to be respected. I'm just saying to you, I'm not getting on, but don't let your kids just run crazy. Right. Respect the things of God. Respect the house of God. Respect those. I hate to tell you, but when you disrespect authority and when you disrespect your parents, I don't know if you realize this or not, but in the truth, you're disrespecting God. If we're going to have a revival in our hearts, we must be respectful in our exploits to God. Not only were these men showing respect, but again, they were showing their gratefulness of what Saul had done for them. The first thing that Saul did as king of Israel was to rescue the men of Jabesh-Gilead from the Ammonites. Go back to 1 Samuel 11 and we'll read this. I think we might have read it last week, but I want to read it again. 1 Samuel chapter 11, the story was many, many months ago. I realize that. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1, then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we'll serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. I just cannot imagine this being brought before them as the Ammonites were about to overtake them, and they said, hey, we'll serve you, we'll make a covenant. And they go, okay, this is how we'll signify the covenant. We'll poke your eyeball out. And can you imagine a whole city of men with their eyeball poked out? And Nahash the Ammonite said that. So the elders of Jabesh, in verse 3, said unto him, give us 7 days respite, and that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel, then if there be no man to save us, we'll come out to thee. Can you imagine the stress that was taking place in this city. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and they told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul. This, by the way, this was back when Saul had his right mind. This is when Saul feared God. This is when Saul was obeying God. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, "What aileth the people that they weep?" And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those things, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, "Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, "Thus shall you say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, you shall have help." And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. I reckon they were. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, "Tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you." And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came in the midst of the host in the morning watch, and they slew the Ammonites under the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. Praise God. Somebody did a great exploit for God. And in this case, it was Saul. And you know what? Not only did the men of Jabesh Gilead show respect, but they showed gratefulness. I want you to know that these men didn't forget what Saul did for them. And if Saul had obeyed God, he would have done much for the glory of God. I just like to think about Saul in his right mind. I know it's not happening. I know we can't go back. But don't you look at history and look at things and go, "Only if they'd have done this. If Saul would have just obeyed God and killed the Amalekites. If Saul had with his right, you know who would have been the captain of the guard? David. You know who would have been the two lieutenants of Saul? Jonathan and David. David could have been brought into the kingdom as he was, married the king's daughter, lived a prosperous life, learned everything that he could about being a king. And when Saul died, David would have taken over a unified Israel. Because that story right there about what he did shows us that could have been possible. No, instead he got jealous, hated David, and tried to kill him. But at least the men of Jabesh Gilead were grateful. They did not forget what Saul had done for them. Therefore, when they heard of the shame that had been done to the body of Saul, they rescued the body and gave him what we would call a decent and honorable burial. Do you realize tonight? Think about this. I thought about this. I wrote this down. Do you realize that those that are of us that are here tonight who've been saved by the grace of God and rescued from hell have a far greater thing to be thankful for than even these men of Jabesh Gilead? It's one thing to have your eyeball poked out. It's another thing to die and go to hell without Christ. We have much to be thankful for. And you remember this morning, one of the downfalls of mankind, one of the downfalls of not lining up with the revelation of God is to be ungrateful. We need to do exploits which will honor Christ. We need to do things to show that we're thankful for what God has done for us. What do you do to show that you're thankfulness for your salvation? People act like it's like a hard task to come to church sometimes. Outside of sickness. I don't come to church if you're sick. Well, bless God, preacher said I need to come to church. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Keep your COVID, flu, and all other ailments at home as best you can. But you know, when we're not sick, Sometimes if it's just too cold outside, or if it's just too hot outside, or if I have a hangnail. It's always been amazing to me when one of the kids gets sick at home, it takes everybody in the family to stay home to wipe their nose. Probably one person could do that, and everybody else could go to church. Amen, preacher. What do we do to show our thankfulness? Do you know what always gave me the greatest joy for my children when they were growing up, and my grandchildren now? If they obey what I tell them to do without delay, they show respect, they show gratefulness. That is no different than when we trust and obey God, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey God. You say, well, how can you show respect for God? Obey Him. How can you show gratefulness? Do what He says the first time. Look at 1 Samuel 31 and verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse number 12. I think there's a third thing. I think there's respect. I think there's gratefulness. And I think there's something else that we need to look at here in verse number 12. It says, "And all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshean and came to Jabesh and burnt them there." These men were bold. They risked their lives going into this area infested by Philistines to recover the body of Saul. That's great boldness. We learned about that in our Sunday school class this morning about the boldness that we need to have for God. Listen, we need to be bold for the Lord. We need to be a witness to Christ. But you can't be living in sin and be bold for the Lord. Because people will go, what? And as we said this morning, can you imagine dying and you go to your funeral and somebody said, well, I didn't even know he was a Christian. How sad would that be? Great exploits for God require much boldness. The faint and the timid and the cowardly will not accomplish much. You know, let me tell you this. Let me tell you what Satan does. He tries to portray Christianity of those who are weak and fearful. Have you ever noticed that? They always want to portray the Christian as a weak and fearful person. Well, let me tell you this. It takes great courage and great honor to display honor for Christ in a world that is opposed to the Savior. I mean, it takes boldness to stand around when everybody else is talking about one thing and you say, I can't participate in that. Well, why can't you participate in that? Because I'm a Christian. Especially like drinking alcohol. That's a pressure that many people find themselves in. Well, come and have a drink with us. Well, I don't drink. Well, I drink Coke. But no. And it's also been noted that if you go out with a group of people and you don't order alcohol and everybody else does alcohol, the waitress doesn't want us, they don't like you because they realize their tip will be much higher on the prices of the alcohol than it is for the guy who just has a hamburger and a Coke. Unless it's me, because I'm liable to tip them higher than anybody else because I want them to know. When I give them a track, I want them to read it. You ain't going to read a track if you go somewhere and you sit down and eat and you have a $25 bill and you lay 50 cents down there and then put a track with it. Please don't do that. Amen. Don't give them a track. Amen. Unless you give a good tip. Well, what's a good tip? 25, 30%. What? Well, just eat at home. And don't embarrass Christianity. I know I'm right. And it's very quiet in here. But I'm telling you, don't do that. Don't give 50 cents and a track. And act like you're spiritual. You give them a 30% tip, you know what they'll do? They're liable to read the track. Man, I think I'm going to wrap this up and let's go home. No, I'm not. I am not either. Open that back up. What I'm saying is Christianity is portrayed by the devil as weak and fearful. No. These men displayed great exploits. The Bible says they went all night. If we truly want to bring honor to the king, we'll be earnest in our exploits for Him. We might have to have some all-night efforts. We might have to pray all night. And I'm not going to go into that, but I'm telling you, we need some all-night prayer meetings. We need to from some, I mean, and by the way, you pray from 2 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning to 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. That is totally against my flesh. Totally against my flesh. But if God's going to keep me up, I might as well spend time in prayer.
That's right.
And do some business with Him. You say, well, maybe you should try to go back to sleep. Well, you pray long enough, maybe God will let you go back to sleep. But I'm just telling you, I don't like Christianity to be portrayed as weak. We have to have some all-night efforts. An 8-hour day for a 40-hour week attitude, a Sunday morning only Christian will not bring much honor to God. It's almost like, well, I did my duty. I went to church. Well, pray. Look at verse number 6. Let's go back to our text. Look at verse number 6. I want you to see something here. And the Lord showed kindness and truth unto you. And I also will requite you this kindness because you have done this thing. David sees these men and gives them a reward. Now, this is another one of those in the Bible. What they sow, they will now reap. Now, they didn't do this to be seen of men, and they didn't do this to be receive a prize from the king, but they did receive a prize from the king. And oh, by the way, if we do what we're supposed to, God will take care of us. The aspect here is the reward was kindness and truth. David rewarded these men. He saw that they were rewarded for their deed. Rewarding these men confirmed David's respect for Saul, by the way. Now, we know that Saul tried to kill David, but David, it's amazing to me that when David would do anything like even cut the garment of Saul, he fell under conviction. You know why? Because he had respect. He had respect for Saul. Then look at verse number 7. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah hath anointed me to be king over them. The exhortation to these men was that their loss was great, but now is not the time to throw in the towel. Here's what he said. I've been anointed king. Follow me. We'll do great exploits for God. Did you know that David did the greatest for Israel than any king as far as exploits? And he took more territory. He made Israel bigger than they ever were before because he did the will of God as a king. It's proper and right to have sorrow and grief at the loss of somebody. But you can't neglect your responsibilities and opportunities that the Lord gives us. In other words, they couldn't mourn Saul for the rest of their life. David said, Saul is dead, and the house of Judah hath anointed me to be king. In other words, David is exhorting them to understand there are more things to be done for God besides the body of Saul. You know what? Very simple message. We need men and women and boys and girls who are willing to do exploits for God. Respect, gratefulness, boldness are a part of our exploits for God. And you know what we need to do? Great exploits for God. Great exploits for God. They start with respect and gratitude. They start with boldness. Those are three great aspects that we see from the men of Jabesh-Gilead. And if you didn't have anything except respect and boldness and gratefulness, you'd be headed in the right direction. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. God, help us tonight to do things for You. Help us tonight to be bold for the Lord. Help us to respect the things of God. Help us to respect our elders, our parents, our leadership, our teachers, our police. Lord, in a day when people are showing disrespect, may God's people show respect. May we show gratitude, gratefulness for what You've done for us. Help us.